We're going to read from the Old Testament today. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 28, verses 3 through 19. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When he saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult the spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid." "What do you see?" the woman said. "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am distressed," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophet or by dream. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me, now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you have not obeyed the Lord to carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with them. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Now, all of this series and all these lessons come from this text in Psalms 25. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of the covenant." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in time, Lord, this time in which we're here watching online, but the time in which we're together, Lord, and we pray in this moment that our hearts and our minds are open to your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit capture all of our thoughts, Lord, and may they direct them and guide them to you, and may you form us and shape us into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So we're in 1 Samuel, as you saw, and we're going to get there here in a minute. But I don't know about you, but if I've done this once, I've done this 1,000 times over the last 7 months. I go to bed, and what do I do next? I go to bed, and I turn over, and I pick up my phone. My phone, which charges right next to me. And I begin to check it because, you know, me sitting 5 minutes earlier in my recliner in the living room and looking at it wasn't good enough. I have to keep checking it. And so I grab it and I check it because I have to see what it says one more time, just in case, you know, something changed between recliner to bed. Now, that doesn't take into account what I do when I wake up in the morning, because what I do when I wake up in the morning is the same thing I do when I get out of bed. So when I wake up, I turn over and I grab my phone and I see what I missed over the last 6 hours of sleep. And what I've realized and what I began to realize was that my habit of this was getting worse and worse. If you know anything about habits, you do it long enough and it becomes codified It becomes part of who we are. It becomes how we do things. And what I found out was, over these last few months, is I would grab my phone at night, I would grab it in the morning, and there were days in which I would go to bed upset because of what I've read. And I would have a sense of dread about what the next piece of news was, or what the next post was, or I don't know, what someone commented about something. And all of that was kind of shaping and forming how I went to bed and how I got up and what I was grabbing. And then I read an article about 2 months ago. And maybe you read it too, I don't know. If you read Wired Magazine, then you did read. I don't know how many people in here read Wired Magazine. But I was reading this article, and it came up with a term for what I was doing. And actually, psychologists have created a term for this behavior. That whatever we do, however we're living our life, more and more people are doing that kind of behavior that I just described. We always seem to have the phone in our hand and we're flicking up. And however it is, whether it's at night, whether you're getting upset like that guy is, or whether you just find yourself, even maybe, and I'm not judging, right now, you're kind of rolling through it. There's a term for this. There's a term that's been created in the last 7 months, and the term is called doom scrolling. We're all guilty of it. Don't think that you're not, because you may say, I don't have my phone on me, and I'll say, I bet you're on your computer. That's called doom surfing. Because we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of endlessly scrolling through our social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or, not for the faint of heart, Facebook, in desperate search of answers. And I think that's where it gets to, and that's where the text will come into. We're all in desperate search of answers, desperate search of trying to find clarity in what's going on. We're searching for someone to make it right for us. And as human beings, we have a tendency of always kind of jumping into negative news. Like when it's negative, we can't get enough of it. It's weird, but it's how it works. We can't get enough of the negativity. We want to see what the next negativity is, or we want to see what someone said about it. We can't get enough of it. And so after I read this article, I did what maybe some of you have done, but I decided I was just going to jump off social media. I was done with it after reading this article. And so I've jumped off of it, which has been healthy for me, I think. And I'll tell you why in a minute. It's also been weird to have people say, hey, did you see what I posted on Facebook? And I'm like, no. And they'll send me a screenshot. And I was like, I didn't need to see that either. But that's what I've found myself doing is I finally had to just get off. And this is the lesson I've learned from this is, who am I trusting? Quit doom scrolling. Who am I trusting? Quit doom scrolling. Because the lesson I learned was, I was trusting what was on that little thing in my hand, and I was going to it a whole lot more for answers than maybe, I don't know, God. Because I needed the immediate fix. And God tends to work in the long, slow ways, and the fix isn't as immediate. And so as we are looking at this text for this week, we see a guy named Saul, who's the king of Israel. He's the first king of Israel. He was anointed by Samuel in 1 Samuel 8:6. Actually, I have 8:6. Oh, I'm going to say this out loud. Sharon, I'm really sorry. Sharon Parker's watching this. She's going to say it says 8:6, and I actually have 8:19. So it's actually 8:19. But we see in 1 Samuel 8:19 that Saul is going to be appointed. Why? Because the people of God didn't have time for God being their king. They needed something immediate. They needed something right now. And so they screamed to Samuel, we want a king over us. Therefore, we'll be like all the nations. So don't think this doom-scrolling thing is a brand new thing, that we need to get our answer immediately. We need to get whatever, we need to be like everyone else. It's been going on forever. We're scrolling through, the people of Israel say, we're scrolling through our media feed, and all we're seeing are all these nations with kings. We want the same thing. And so in 8:19, Samuel begins the process of anointing a king, and Saul is picked. But by 1 Samuel 15, we see that God has rejected Saul. So 7 chapters later, the king couldn't make it 7 chapters, and Saul is already being rejected, as it tells us in 1 Samuel 15:35. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. And so by 1 Samuel 15:35, we see that Saul is in a dire spot. Saul is feeling desperate. Like many of us over the last 7 months who probably have felt desperate for figuring out what is going on or don't know what's happening, Saul is in that place at this point. And by the time we get to 1 Samuel 27, in which David has come on the scene, and we've seen what David's been doing, but by 1 Samuel 27, David has made an alliance with the Philistines, because David is playing a strategic move on how to get the kingdom that now God has promised him. And so by our text, 1 Samuel 28, Saul is in between a rock and a hard place. He's got David on one side who's pressuring him. David, who is the anointed one of God. David, who seems to not be able to do anything wrong. And you have the Philistine army encamped right there, in which it tells us that the minute that Saul sees the Philistine army, he does what? He gets afraid because of how many there are. So Saul has a Philistine issue, and Saul has a David issue. Saul's got issues all the way around, and Saul is in a desperate place. And so what does Saul do? The same thing that I think we do. He begins to look for some clarity. And in verse 3, it tells us what Saul has already done. It tells us that he expelled the spiritist. He tells us that he expelled the mediums out of the land. He tried to be a good king at one point. He set it aside. You know, we look at our phones or stuff and say, I've got to turn it off. I can't do it anymore. And we try to set it aside because we know what it's doing to us. We really do. And so we set it aside and say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to read it. I know what it's going to do to me. Desperate times call for desperate measures, though, right? Desperate times call for us to do things we may not have done another time. It calls us to look for answers when it feels like the answers aren't coming, and the text tells us that the answers aren't coming from God. And we know we need to put it down. You know why we know we need to put our phones and other things down? It's because a lot of times those things trigger us. Everybody know what triggering is, right? You know, triggering, that thing that happens to all of us. It causes us to scroll a little faster. It causes us to stay up a little later to search for answers. It causes us to be upset. We can't get enough of being triggered. It's kind of weird that way. And so what we see is what most of the time social media and this other stuff does to us is it causes us to become something that we're not. And so by coming into verse 8, Saul is no longer seen as king of Israel. Saul's no longer seen as king of Israel. In fact, Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament theologian, says it this way. He says, his decision to seek help from a medium is a measure of his moral exhaustion, his despairing faith, his failed life. Now, to know Walter Brueggemann is to know he gets that kind of extreme measure. But I like that, his despairing faith. And we notice that by verse 8. By verse 8, Paul is willing to do the exact opposite of what he was doing in verse 3. Verse 3, he expelled everybody. Now look what he's doing in verse 8. By verse 8, he's willing to disguise himself. He's willing to go by night. By the way, two things that never end up being good. If you've got to disguise yourself and go at night, nothing happens good in that. Probably why I pick up my phone at night, right? I don't look like I'm looking at it as much. So he goes and does exactly what he said he wouldn't do. And he goes to a medium, and we begin to see this whole mindset of Saul doom-scrolling. And the funny thing is, he ends up scrolling towards Samuel, like the old curmudgeon prophet. I mean, if you've ever read Samuel as a prophet, you know the guy just, I mean, he was rough. And Samuel becomes his last best hope. Samuel, who he hadn't talked to since chapter 15. Samuel, who's told him time and time again, God's through with you. That becomes his last best hope. Samuel. And it's amazing how our phones and our computers become our last best hope. We'll pick it up, hoping it gives us the answer. And generally, it never gives us the right answer. And so we keep going through it. When we read this and we think about this, we might have a tendency of saying, I'm not like that. I don't do that. Who in here doesn't have a cell phone? I mean, it's true as we look at it, we look at social media and we go, I don't know social media. Hey, even my parents who are over there are on social media. They have. So don't tell me it's for like the young or the old. They figured out a way for it to be for everybody. And we're all looking to it. So the mentality that Saul has is the exact mentality that we have. We're looking for answers somewhere, and for some reason, the best answer is that thing that's right next to our bed, that thing that's in our pocket, that thing that's laying right there in the pew. And so we keep scrolling, we keep posting, and we keep being triggered by answers that may not suit us, and some that do suit us. There was this video, there was this documentary on Netflix that I'll mention very quickly that Michael pointed me to. If you haven't seen it and you have Netflix, I recommend you seeing it. And see, if you've got teenagers, sit down with your kids and watch it. It's called The Social Dilemma. And what's interesting about it is it starts talking about how social media companies work. What they're doing to us, what they're trying to get from us. And there was this one quote that just grabbed me. It grabbed me and it caught me, and this was the quote. It was a quote from a Facebook executive. He said, we're trying to figure out how much of your life can we get you to give us. Catch that. How much of your life can we get you to give us? Because guess what? They see all of us as products. We are a commodity in this. And so don't think that doom scrolling is kind of part of their plan in this. They want to keep us doom scrolling. And so they keep feeding us certain answers and certain things so that we'll think a certain way, so that we'll keep looking at their product, so they can keep grabbing our attention. And it tends to do that, doesn't it? Whatever gives us the most immediate words, we're willing to go to it, even when we know it's not wrong. Even when we know it's wrong. In the midst of all that is going on around us, with the anxiety and the stress, there is this successful attempt to get your attention so that you can trust what you see on whatever news feed before anything else. And what it does is exactly what it says. It's making us into something that we're not. It's making us into the Saul who is no longer seen as king. It's making us into the person who other people don't recognize because we become so focused on this. It makes us become something that even God doesn't recognize, and we are the created image. It reminds me of that whole Romans 1 as Paul is speaking and talks about the fall of creation. He's talking about the fall of creation. And he says that we've traded in us being the image of God for something other than God. And we'll look for something else that we can almost be created in that image. Because why? Desperate times call for desperate measures. And sometimes God's not as quick to answer as we want. But you know what can be? Is that thing right next to our bed. And all that's doing is producing in us something that's not us. It's an incongruity between you trusting God and trusting what we see on our phone, trusting the information there, and we find ourselves more trusting what we read there than we do what God says, than God's word, than what the kingdom of God should be. So much so that we'll, at times, even believe things on our phone that is incongruent with the kingdom of God. Saul, who kicked out mediums just earlier, knew he was supposed to because God commanded it, is now going to the medium to get the answers that he needs. Well, we may not go to mediums. We may not look for that. Our medium is not really a person in the flesh. Instead, our medium might be the device next to our bed. We go to it, and we put our trust in what we read there. And we find ourselves caught in its post and in its comments, so much so that it controls how we speak to others, how we treat others, how we look at others. We know better. We do. But we just can't help ourselves. It gives us what we need and think at that moment. It gives us the quick fix. And it ends up forming in us something that is not us. And so my question as we close is this: where has your trust been rooted in the last 7 months? Has it been rooted in the posts and comments of social media and other people on social media? Or is it being put in the trust of the one who created you, the one who loves you, the one who values you? What are people seeing in you? Are they seeing a person who is doom scrolling, desperately trying to have all the answers, desperately trying to give all the answers, more importantly, all the right answers because you think you have them, because that's what it tells us. And so my final is this: quit doom scrolling, set it down, turn it off. Put the Bible next to your bed instead of your phone. Just a thought. But quit doom scrolling. Because what are you trusting? Who are you trusting as you work through this? If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.